Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Bonaventure, arguably one of the greatest lights in the history of the church. Saint Bonaventure was born most likely the year 1217, so Saint Francis was still alive at that time. Saint Francis died in 1226. And as the story goes, Saint Bonaventure was sick as a young boy of 4 years old. And Saint Francis happened to be preaching in the town nearby. And Saint Bonaventure's mother brought him to Saint Francis and asked for his intercession, his prayers. And in fact, Saint Francis healed Saint Bonaventure. Now, there are some historians who put into question whether that really happened or not, but actually Benedict XVI mentioned that in his Wednesday audience when he gave the talk on St. Bonaventure in March of 2010. So if it's good enough for Pope Benedict, it's good enough for us. So St. Bonaventure would go on to study at the University of Paris. I think he even did his high school years, what would be equivalent to high school, at the University of Paris. And he was, of course, recognized for his great learning. And while he was at Paris, he noticed the Franciscans who were there, and he was impressed by their evangelical life, their life of imitation of our Lord and the apostles, and was inspired to enter among the Franciscans. So the Franciscans, they let St. Bonaventure continue with his studies. Of course, that was what he was inclined to do. All of his talents were towards that. So they encouraged him in his studies, and they recognized as well his virtues. Alexander of Hales was the great master of theology at Paris at the time, teacher of St. Bonaventure, and in observing St. Bonaventure, not only his intellectual skills, but especially his virtue, one of his comments regarding St. Bonaventure was, "It seems that the effects of original sin are not present in this young man." That's how impressive he was. So St. Bonaventure would go on himself to become master of theology at the University of Paris, at the same time that St. Thomas Aquinas was teaching. So we have these two huge doctors of the church at the University of Paris at the time. Right? This is one of the incredible marks of the 13th century, the glories of the church of that century. St. Bonaventure would then go on to become the minister general of the whole Franciscan order. In fact, he's considered to be the second founder. Now, some people use that phrase, second founder of the Franciscan order, in a bad sense, in the sense that he distorted the original charism and was not according to the ideals that St. Francis himself would have wanted. Okay, we're talking about the conflict in the Franciscan order in that first century between the spirituals and what are sometimes called the conventuals. But St. Bonaventure being the second founder can also be understood in a positive sense, in that he gave more of a definitive direction to the order. The order at that time was about 30,000 friars throughout the world. So St. Bonaventure divided the order into provinces, right? He established the approved observance of the rule with his constitutions, and again, giving direction to the friars and not just allowing them to be vagabonds and everyone living the rule according to his own whim and inclination, but really getting things in order. So that was very important, especially when you have 30,000 friars going about the world. Another thing we can attribute to St. Bonaventure is the prayer of the Angelus, okay, which is still with us today. The Holy Father has his Angelus address every Sunday. St. Bonaventure at the time made it obligatory in all of the friaries throughout the world to pray the Angelus three times a day. So it was thanks to him and the rest of the Franciscans that this devotion to Our Lady three times a day became popular throughout the Catholic world. Now, St. Bonaventure combines in himself this gift of great intellect and the gift of piety. This is really something that is a part of the Franciscan charism. You know, the Franciscans produced two doctors of the Church within 50 years of the death of St. Francis. St. Anthony of Padua was alive at the time of St. Francis. St. Francis wrote a letter to him encouraging him to teach theology to the friars. St. Francis would die in 1226, St. Anthony of Padua in 1236. St. Bonaventure then dies in 1274. So it's impossible to say that the intellectual life, the presence of Franciscans at the University of Paris so soon after the establishment of the order, all of this demonstrates that that is really an authentic part of the Franciscan charism as well. But you had various friars in the early decades of the Franciscan order who fought against this, the spirituals. Okay, among them were the companions of St. Francis, holy men, certainly in good faith, but they saw this as contrary to the simplicity of St. Francis. In fact, there's the story of when Blessed Giles, holy man of venerable age at the time, comes up, and he was a companion of St. Francis. He comes up to St. Bonaventure, and he says, "Brother Bonaventure, is it possible for an unlearned man to love God more than a theologian?" And St. Bonaventure answered in all truth, and he said, "Yes, Brother Giles, it's possible for an old woman to love God more than the greatest of theologians." Of course, Brother Giles went away thinking he was victorious. You know, he had won the argument, and there's a real point to be made there, okay? That the goal is, of course, love for God. St. Bonaventure knew that, that all of his learning, all of our studies must be ordered to that. Okay, the more you learn, the more you ought to love God. Everything, in fact, in our lives should be ordered toward that, the love of God. But we must remember, we should love God not only with all of our strength, but also with all of our mind, each according to his ability. The Second Vatican Council in Lumen Gentium, the chapter dealing with the laity, says this, paragraph 35, "Let the laity, therefore, diligently apply themselves to a more profound knowledge of revealed truth, and earnestly beg of God the gift of wisdom." You see, no Christian is called to be a lazy Christian, right? That's the Christian who buries his talent under the earth, right? But all Christians are called to deepen their knowledge of revealed truth as much as they can, each according to his own possibility, because we need to give a reason when asked for the hope that we have in store for us. But we also need to remember that that is not the end, And that it is very possible, as St. Paul says, knowledge puffeth up. Okay, that knowledge can be a source of pride, so we need to be on guard. St. Francis was aware of this, and that's why he exhorted all of his friars, whether they were busy in manual labor or whether they were busying themselves with studies, especially the priests and those who had to preach. They had to study. But St. Francis said, whether you're busy with one or the other, he said, don't extinguish the spirit of prayer and holy piety. Okay, so this goes for all of us. Whatever we're doing, our lives in the world, okay, we need to be careful not to extinguish the spirit of prayer. Okay? And the Holy Spirit and his holy operations within us. Saint Bonaventure, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.